Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Business, leisure.
To scream pop songs at the top of my lungs.
I didn't shave my chest for nothing.
To show my kid I love him, no matter what.
Because some people still don't get it.
Because so many people fought so hard to be able to do this.
To visit every single gay bar in Soho in one night.
Because when I was younger, I never realized I could.
Because we're not going anywhere.
Whatever the purpose of your visit, make yours an original. Celebrate Pride with British Airways, a British original.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back again. Lordy, lordy, this time is flying. It is the month of July in the year 2023, and I am joined by the whole cast of characters you know and love from our podcast on a little island in the middle of the Atlantic. Maybe not the middle, but just floating out there somewhere in the Atlantic. We've got BJ.
Hi.
From the state that feels that black people learned valuable self-improvement skills while being enslaved. We've got Eric.
That's not my views, but I live here.
Never said they were. It's just the state you live in.
Can we put a disclaimer at the beginning of every episode that says Eric does not endorse the state in which he lives?
Some portions may be recorded in Florida.
Oh my God, we should. Oh, wait a minute. Do we have a thing like this whole Supreme Court thing where the wedding person didn't have to do a gay wedding website? Can we put that for Flame On? If you have an issue with, as a disclaimer, if you have an issue with blah 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 blah, please do not listen to our episode.
I mean, we should figure that out.
I mean, it'll probably keep us from getting sued when they come for us just for existing. So.
Anyway. Dear Lord. And then from the rainy state, not in its rainy season, I don't think, we've got Brian.
It is so sunny here, but it is so like mild that it is. This is the time of year that Seattleites and in general, like Pacific Northwesterners love. It is beautiful. It is a little touch hot. Like I could be with it. I could handle a little hoodie weather again. But yeah, I was out on Mount Rainier yesterday. It was spectacular.
When you say a touch hot, what's the temperature?
Let's see. What are we at? And it is 10 o'clock in the morning as we're recording. It is still 68 degrees. That is not too hot. But as soon as we have this marine layer kind of burning off, I bet you it gets up to like 75, 76.
Oh, no.
It's 91 here right now.
The surface of the sun known as Florida. Yeah.
It's actually not terrible here. But I'm like right on the beach, so there's like a steady wind. But no, it's like 92 like right now, and then once the sun starts to go down, I'll leave my hotel room.
And it's our rainy season, so we have all the rain that you're missing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing I do not miss. Aside from the politics and the whitewashing of our history, I don't miss the rainy season and the heat in Florida this time of year.
I was just there in Jacksonville this week, and oh my God, getting off that plane and feeling it on the jet bridge, and then you get into the garage for the rental cars and stuff, and you're just like, no, I don't think I miss this either. This is horrible.
Yeah, that's... I will never get over the that there was one Facebook post years ago, and I'm sure you can find it, where it was a picture of the doors leading out of the baggage claim area at Orlando International Airport. And it was like, if you live in Florida, you can feel this picture. 'Cause that wall of humidity when you leave the airport is so ingrained into like your core being that you just start sweating looking at that picture for sure. At least I know I do. Well, we're not here to discuss the weather again or Florida's horrible political takes, but we are here to discuss the fact that Brian has a wig on the back of his chair and is not doing this episode while wearing it, and that's disappointing.
Oh, really? You want to see Leona for the next one? Okay, we'll see what we can do.
I mean, well, listen, it'll be like Ray Chaser, where all the episodes are done in full drag.
Oh my god. Oh, wait, did Chulita come back?
Oh no, I mean, well, the wig just comes out for a certain work.
That's a man, Maury.
Oh my god. Wait, that's not a Chulita wig though, is it?
I mean,
I did wear this once. Yes.
You look like tonight is the night that you will fall for me, so I don't know. It's a little more emo.
I feel like you're... Who is Garth Brooks' alter ego?
Oh, Chris my
Gaines.
God.
Yeah, I'm getting a little Chris Gaines vibe from that, actually.
You mean emo Garth? I love emo Garth.
Right? Who doesn't? Who doesn't love a little Chris Gaines in their life? Anyway, I'm like, yours is styled, so I'm sure you would really want to be delicate with that. This wig has, I don't think, ever been styled, even when I wore it in drag.
Oh, this is going to be horrible for my wig. Hold on. I don't know if this is going to work. Yeah, that's kind of working.
You should dye your beard the same color.
Girl, have you not seen my drag ever?
Oh, wait. Yeah, you did. I only saw it once. Like, a picture in passing, and I was like...
Girl, follow my Instagram, at Leona Theramin. Jesus.
Oh, see, I didn't know you had a third one. Jesus.
I have like five, I think, at this
you
point.
You have like five Instagrams. I just have the two.
Yes.
I mean, technically between this one, my Bears in the City one, the one I actually use, 8-Bit Heart, Oh So Delish Bakes, like I just have a plethora of them. And I only use one, so... Follow as you will. All right, let's see how long it is before this hair gets in my eyes and starts becoming a pain in the ass. So let's get into why we're actually here. We're here to talk about the month in pop culture, things we have seen, listened to, watched, enjoyed in the world in the past month. And we're going to chat with you all and tell you all why we loved it or... In some cases, maybe didn't love it. I don't know. I don't know what you guys feel about your topics, but I know in the past we have done some hate watch discussions, and those topics are always fun. But I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to BJ to kick us off. I think you have some of the most in-depth topic. So why don't we kick it off with you?
Hi. So it's, as everybody knows, we are in the midst of yet another writer's strike, and now all the actors are striking. So it's kind of like a Jaws movie-esque warning, like hard times, they are on their way. So I suggest all of you listeners cover it and love and look for old things that you haven't watched yet or anything that is on the fence, because projects are all getting delayed unless it has already been slated for release. Projects are all getting delayed left and right. So it's about to be, I can't remember what year it was. Was it 2008?
I can tell you it was because that was when Dr. Horrible came out. So let me just.
07.
That's when we lost Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies. God, that was the decline of heroes. We lost out on the actual, I think it was, it also contributed to the demise of Reaper. That was one of my favorite shows that lasted a year after the writer's strike and then promptly was dropped. And it also led to the rise of lots and lots of reality TV. Even on Cartoon Network had reality television shows around.
Yeah, it almost ruined Scrubs. because yep. Scrubs got their seventh season got janked up because of the writer's strike, and ABC did not pick it back up. NBC didn't pick it back up. And thankfully, ABC gave it another shot afterwards, and we got one of the best finale episodes, in my opinion.
But yeah,
from an Eric standpoint, that's how we got the much maligned, I think it was Big Brother 9, the winter season of Big Brother.
You're right.
Because yeah. they had nothing to put on, so they did that. And that wasn't that the drug kingpins win? Wasn't that the season he won?
Probably. I'm not sure. I wasn't really watching Big Brother back then, but and I did not go on a binge a la your 40 seasons of Survivor or
You didn't go through a massive depression during the pandemic and binge watch reality television? Oh.
No, I'm just still going through a massive depression. But I didn't binge watch like that. No.
Understood.
So the thing is, because of the actor strike, we're going to run into a lot of stuff isn't being promoted nearly as much. So you've got Comic-Con going on this weekend, and some of the panels are pretty sparse. I know with voice actors and video game voice acting and stuff, if the studio meets like the actors' contract and everything, and as long as they properly meet the contract, there is a lot more video game promotions popping up at this year's San Diego Comic-Con. There was a Spider-Man 2 panel. It's pandemonium. And actually, as of yesterday, which would have been the 22nd of July, before this recording, A23 actually met all the writers. And
A24?
Is it A24?
It is A24.
You're probably doing like D23 and A24.
That's exactly what you know what, that's funny. I had it on the back of my mind because D23 is so Marvel heavy and like Star Wars heavy and everything that I don't know if any of the actors will actually be showing up for any of their panels for that. So, but A24 has met the writers and the actors' contracts. So their projects are all still going. So they whatever the contract was that they wanted, A24 has met it. So a lot of weird horror gonna be able to come out on time this year, next year. So that I thought that was super interesting. And if enough smaller and that's a small studio. That's not a multi-billion-dollar studio. A24 has always done like indie projects and all sorts of little projects. So they're not swimming in cash like Disney and other things. So but if they're able to pay if more small studios are able to pay their actors and writers according to the contract that they want, then I think it'll go well for them. Right now, though, most big studio CEOs are in their Lex Luthor supervillain stage right now with being like, we'll just wait you out until you're hungry. So very Ebenezer Scrooge of them. But the good news is we've got a ton of projects as of right now that are still going. They released a trailer. And also, some of these aren't just special to San Diego Comic-Con. A lot of what's happening now is that when it's Comic-Con drops trailers for things, video games, anime projects, everything will drop their trailers and everything the same weekend as San Diego Comic-Con or D23 because they know eyeballs are on YouTube looking for like pirated footage of like special trailers and clips from upcoming projects. So I'll just give a couple of my personal things that I'm beyond excited for. One is Spider-Man 2, they dropped a story trailer. For the PS5 game Spider-Man 2, with Tony Todd, who was Candyman in the original Candyman. Actually, he was in all the Candyman movies. He'll be voicing Venom, and he was actually at the panel. A lot of the voice actors and everybody were at the panel, a Spider-Man 2 panel at Comic-Con. So that was a nice little change of pace. And then Friday, wait, coming off, Pat.
The wig reveal. I'm in my Roxy Andrews era. Now I'm Joey J. I'm just a gay ass bitch.
They also, was it Friday? Friday was One Piece Day. And I know everybody who listens to this podcast knows how much I love One Piece. They dropped not only a trailer for a big story event that's happening in the anime, they dropped a brand new full trailer for the live action on Netflix of One Piece, which looks absolutely bonkers, banana town, insane. I know I posted the teaser up on our Facebook. But I'm beyond excited. It looks absolutely fantastic. We've got Interview with the Vampire Season 2 trailer dropped yesterday as of the recording of this podcast. And we've got a new Marvel's trailer, which actually makes me I'm not only very excited for Marvel's because it's probably the last Marvel project that's going to come out for the next, like, movie that's probably going to come out for like the next year and a half. Because I know they pushed Blade back by 2 years. Deadpool, I believe, is still slated to continue.
Well, I mean, the production on that has stopped.
Oh, okay.
They shut down Deadpool.
Yeah.
So I know that when I saw that one.
That's to be announced. But Marvel's looks fun as hell. It looks super cute. The full trailer is absolutely fantastic. I think it's going to make me finish Secret Invasion to try and figure out what timeline they're working with in the Marvels. And then we've got Harley Quinn Season 4 actually drops this month. Because they never released a trailer for that one until yesterday. So Harley Quinn Season 4 drops, I think, this week. As when this podcast releases, it should be out. And then wrapping up the things I'm excited for are actually a Mortal Kombat 1 dropped its rebooting Mortal Kombat, but Mortal Kombat 1 dropped its DLC, and it's got Omni-Man, Peacemaker, and Homelander, which I think are perfect for this fucking game. So yeah, those just a couple things. Have you guys seen anything as far as Comic-Con trailers or anything you're excited for?
I saw the Marvels and the One Piece trailer, and the One Piece trailer, I've been very nervous about the anime live action remakes, but this one just looks ridiculous. And that's good for it, because the One Piece world is just ridiculous.
Oh yeah, One Piece is absolutely, I mean, there's, anybody who hasn't watched One Piece, the power scaling and the abilities are absolutely off the wall insane. You have a guy that has door powers. He can literally back up against the wall and turn into a door. He can create doors in the air. It is absolutely, there's a soap woman. I mean, it is absolutely insane. So like, actually, for something being translated to live action and it being a little bit quirky, I think One Piece is perfect for that nonsense.
I have never seen One Piece. I don't know that at all entices me either, but that's okay. It doesn't have to be for me, and I'm sure it looks amazing. Marvel's, I did see. I think it's a nice expansion on the teaser we had already seen. Does give a little bit of a, okay, now we know who a villain is, though I don't really know who the villain is. Maybe I should. Was Ronan Accuser's girlfriend?
I think she's been gender swapped.
Oh, okay. Because they made it seem like it was like Ronan Accuser's girlfriend. So I was like, oh, okay.
And I think it's his daughter.
It's his daughter.
Think it's Ronan the Annihilator. Because I know right now in the comics with the new Skrull Empire, one of one of Tommy's Hulkling's security members or knights is a new Ronin, the Annihilator, and it's a woman. Okay. So they're probably playing a little bit off of that.
No, that's good. That's fine. I mean, it's basically not a character I have, you know, would know otherwise because they're relatively new anyway, but. But Marvel's looks good. I'm also watching Secret Invasion, so I'm curious to see how this quite lines up. the tone is different. Secret Invasion, you know, other than involving Fury and maybe the Skrulls at all, I don't know. Like, it seems like it is kind of a separate, like, no, it's Space Fury. That's a different thing. And then, you know, we have Secret Invasion, which is like, you know, Earth Fury with Skrulls. But I didn't see a lot of other stuff coming out. I wanted to see pictures of the Hellfire Gala last night. And the only person I saw post was Pat Loika, who, if you're not familiar with Pat's work, photographer, very well known for his cosplay photography and also being kind of a, you know, comic book gadfly. A lot of creators know him. He got to know a lot of people through the Bendis boards. But yeah, I didn't see like any publicity photos. I kind of thought, oh, they're going to do like the publicity thing like what they did for the actual comic Hellfire Gala. And so far I've seen nothing yet. So, but I do like the fact that it's comics focused and gaming too. I mean, I probably am just a little not paying attention to that, but like the fact that the movie stars are kind of not there, the television and TV stuff is, or television TV, wow, the TV and movies stuff is like a little downplayed, is it's actually probably the best thing that could happen for that show. Because if you've ever been to a Comic Con in general, depending on which one, of course, it should be comic book focused, gaming, of course, vending, crafting, a little bit of celebrities maybe. And that does help pay the bills. But like San Diego got taken over by all of the Hall H, I think, panels and all of the other things. And like the comic stuff is there, but it just gets buried. So I'm hoping that this year might reset that like expectation a bit.
They did drop some trailers for a couple of comic book events. So far though, the only comic book event trailers I've seen are all DC based. I know there's a Batman Gargoyle of Gotham series, and they've dropped a Justice League comic trailer. But yeah, that I don't know if they are doing a comics announcement.
But I mean, the point is that the show is for the show, people who go to the show. We have been in a weird state in the last however many years where we've had this be like this media inflection point for sci-fi or, you know, genre stuff. But like the show, when you're there, is about the show and about going to see the comic creators who only go to one show a year, to going, getting some random collectible that you can only get there. I mean, that's to me like, you know, I don't know. I'm maybe a little bit like grumpy old man about this, but I do appreciate that maybe this year is lighter because of all of the other stuff. And, you know, honestly, I think that's the point in from the, you know, actors and writers perspective is like, hey, no, you know, we're pulling back. You should feel some pain here. You Hollywood folk making all the money. But anyway, thank you. Fist of Rage. Wait, was that the Fist of Rage or the Fist of Love? I always get them confused.
No, Fist of Love is this. Well,
I thought we had a different. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, of course. Of course,
Fist of Love. Fist of Love. Yeah. Quick clear up though. Apparently, there is an official Harrow Hellfire Gala at D23 this year in September.
Oh, they're doing it there? No, they
mean they're because it's Marvel's owned by Disney. So
they already did one. I'm so confused about this. I swore this was the big one.
No, the official one as put on by Marvel will be in at the D23 Expo that happens between September 8th through 10th, 2023, and they will have like they're going to have like the Blue Lagoon. They're going to have like all the Krakoan places.
Okay.
So I think, I mean, like there's a bear event that does a Hellfire Gala in Orlando.
You're totally right. This was a cosplayer like specific party they threw.
Yes.
Unofficially. So that explains why. Cause I was like, I really expected it to be a big spectacle, but that lines up better. Cause I don't think the issue comes out for a little bit too. So yeah. And, yeah. Okay. I'm an idiot then. It's fine. There's too many things. But I'm glad to see that is still coming up, and I'm hopeful that it's going to be a spectacle to relaunch the Xbox or some whatever the hell they're doing. I don't know.
Yeah,
we're getting a lot with Fall of X coming up, and this is like the big they've the wedding of Tony Stark and Emma Frost and all of that. Like I'm so far behind on the books.
Oh, jeez, me too.
I know that they. I know that at SDCC. Wait, so. Is it Are they still calling it Comic-Con International? Is that technically the official name?
I believe it is, yeah. Or,
yes.
Okay.
It's just abbreviated to SDCC. But yeah, it's still, as far as the signage and everything, I mean, that's currently up there.
Comic-Con, but yeah, it's one of those weird things. But
it's a DBA. It's doing business as.
Exactly. but we have Kamala Khan, the New Mutant. Or Ms. Marvel, the New Mutant.
Mm-hmm.
That got announced, and they did a trailer for that at the event. The new Punisher series that's coming out, all that stuff. I know Marvel was focused on, in addition to the Marvel trailer. I still haven't watched it. I'm really behind this week. I had to go in the office like more often than normal, and it made me a sleepy bear. So I'm so far behind on everything. I fell asleep at the end of the finale of All Stars 8. I mean, honestly, I didn't need to see it.
I mean, honestly, did you miss much?
I did not.
We should sidebar that at some point. Like last episode. Yeah.
which the second after I said that Luke would message me, I got a message with him laughing, and it was great. So, hello, Luke. But I haven't seen much come out of it. I want to go to that Hellfire Gala at D23. Like, that would be amazing. But
I messed up, y'all. It actually was the Hellfire Gala, the official one, is for Comic-Con.
Oh my god.
D23. Okay, wait,
what's going on?
It's so weird. Like, D23,
I thought it was. I thought Brian was right.
A D23 event, which is D23 is essentially Disney's Comic-Con, is sponsoring an event at a different event. So that's where the confusion is. So Brian, you are 100% correct. Yes. Wasn't a bigger spectacle? I'm confused. Maybe they did have an NDA.
So to be really clear about this, because we don't want to, there's enough conspiracies and surreal, like the scandalous. Anyway. Yes, it was D23 and Marvel sponsoring it at San Diego Comic-Con yesterday, because today is the 23rd of July. It was on the 22nd, and there is no pictures. There's like, actually, you know, maybe if I go to their Instagram, all right, I'll do a little more research, but it did happen. It is in the past,
but it is, and it's very possible they could have sent an NDA. So if one of the other news outlets posts like IGN or Polygon or somebody has like all the actual like press pictures of it, if there are press pictures done, in that case, then we'll make sure to get those posted to our Facebook. But no, Brian, you're absolutely right. There was zero fanfare because I had heard about it, and I thought
there is partially a reason for that. I'm on the D23 page for the X-Men Hellfire Gala, and in the list of security guidelines, no professional audio, video, or audio recording equipment, including detachable lenses, tripods, zooms, or commercial use rigs.
Bitch.
And also, no personal video cameras, GoPros, selfie sticks, drones, or laser pointers.
Bitch. So they made that, and the only way you are seeing anything about it is if you were physically there. I hate it, but I get it.
Well, no. What that probably means is that they want the most flattering pictures coming out of an event like this, which they probably put a ton of money into.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got pros, video and photography wise, there may have been what is the carpet in the Hellfire Gala? Cause it's not red. I've only read one Hellfire Gala issue, and there's been two. We're about to have a third. But there was probably a picture set up. There's probably areas that you can go and do all of that. So we're probably going to see those pictures within the next day or two.
And it's a Disney sponsored event, so they probably had the Disney photographers there.
Oh, sure. But, exactly. But that's what I mean. So it doesn't say anything about like no picture taking from what I'm just quickly glancing at. Okay, so yeah, I mean, it says, please be advised, filming, photography, and other recording will take place during the event. You'll be attending, blah, blah, blah. So, like, all of the, you're allowing them to, you know, film and video and take pictures of you.
Make you into an AI after you're dead, all that stuff. So,
yeah.
Exactly.
Turn you into an extra for the next Marvel project.
You are the new Joan. I mean,
it may have been something about, you know, you're not allowed to, because it's all, you know, like the costume guidelines. There may be some, you know, there may be something where it was like, hey, you know, they don't want pictures posted until they can post theirs, or, you know, no photography being allowed at the event. Which, I mean, it's a weird thing, and there's been a lot of discourse in the world about taking pictures, being in the moment, disrupting artists while they're having a concert, you know, those types of things. And yeah, I love taking pictures. We all know this. We've all been around me at times. The funny part is I take a shit ton of pictures and I don't post much, except for when it was my job. Like when I worked at Parliament House and that was part of what I did, it was always trying to get that quick turnaround. But you know, if you're putting on this event and you want to make sure that it has the best foot forward, especially in a time where, you know, you've got the, you know, SAG-AFTRA strike and the Writers Guild strike and UPS is about to go on strike and everybody be striking out here. You know, they're trying to control the narrative on what the image and what the event looks like. And, you know, you don't want people being like, oh, look at these behind the scene photos. Look at this.
Yeah, but I get it.
I want to see what these pictures look like, because I when I saw the event announced, I was like, damn, I want to go, but I know that I'm a poor bitch and I can't, you know, not going to be out there.
Oh no, that sucker was expensive, and it's called the green carpet.
I was going to say, yeah. I thought it was green, but
so they actually, so the spaces they have the Green Lagoon, the Hellfire Ballroom, and Lair X, which was like a history of mutants exhibit for humans to look at. So. Yeah, they it was a whole thing. So I hope they release pictures from it. And definitely it being Disney, like I can definitely see them wanting to do this as like sort of a press release. I can see them doing stuff with it, and I could definitely see them not, if they have control of all the photos, I could definitely see them not releasing them till the actual D23 event. To promote their D23 event, which is smart. So I get it. I definitely want to see them now.
I mean, Hellfire Gala will be out before September.
Yeah.
So they may do it in conjunction with like a real big push for advertising this year's Hellfire Gala, especially since it leads into Fall of X.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Which we're now getting, you know, hinted at that, it's not the end of the Krakoan era for the X-Men. Did anybody see the teaser for the all new, or was it say all new X-Men? The one page image.
Oh yeah,
Doom. Is that the Doom one?
No. Just one where it's like all new X-Men. It's like a black page with just the type, and the X. And the logo that they use is the same as the, I think it's the Astonishing X-Men from the Age of Apocalypse. And slightly similar to the original X with like the kind of like wavy, like chompy bits at the end of on the ends of the X. But as soon as I saw it, that circle around it, that font, it all just screamed Astonishing X-Men and Age of Apocalypse. So I'm curious to see what's going to come after the fall. So. Mm.
But and then the only other thing I got is that if you are an Invincible fan, they not only released a trailer for Invincible Season 2, they released a special origin episode for Adam Eve that is available now to watch. And it is really freaking good. So definitely check that out if you are an Invincible fan.
Yeah, I've been hearing that it's good. So I'm going to have to check it out. And then November Season 2, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Nice. Awesome. So thank you, BJ, for your Comic-Con International roundup, writer strike update, you know, all that good stuff. Keeping all of us folks up to date with the newest con info coming out of San Diego. All right, Eric, what you got for us?
Well, let's talk about more superhero stuff, although Woo! DC now. The new the new animated show My Adventures with Superman is airing on Cartoon Network / Max, formerly HBO Max.
Formerly HBO Go.
Exactly.
And HBO Plus.
It just can't have more identity crises.
Yeah.
She's still finding herself. But this is an American animated superhero television cartoon series based on the DC comic book character Superman. It's animated by the South Korean studio Mir, who also animated Legend of Korra, Voltron Legendary Defender, Kipo and the Age of Beasts. So it's that style of animation. And it's the early days of Clark Kent moving to Metropolis and just getting started at the Daily Planet. And in this version, his roommate is Jimmy Olsen, and they are interns, and they meet up with Lois Lane, who is also an intern and trying to get on the reporting staff. So they're all very young, and he's just getting used to using his Superman powers at the beginning. And so far, four episodes have aired. Has anybody else seen it?
I have. I've really liked it so far. And I like, they take a very good, especially like when his parents show him the ship. And the ship reacts to him and everything. I love the, it's definitely got this parents of it, like these parents adopted an immigrant essentially, but they know nothing about his culture and they know nothing about like what he is. And they've just kind of raised him as a human, which is definitely one of those things where that's like the foundation of Superman is that this is the planet that took him in. This is the planet that's protected him. So he protects the planet and he's just a good guy. But I love how they definitely don't shy away from the idea that like his parents were terrified kind of at the beginning.
Yeah.
And especially when there's that, hologram of Jor-El and just him talking in the native, Kryptonian language, like they're freaked out. They're like, this could be like a, not so much a friendly, like a friendly alien race. So.
Yeah. And I like that even he went back as an adult trying to learn more and he still can't communicate with the Jor-El hologram.
Exactly. So I like how they kind of push that like he doesn't know much about himself. And I also like the fact that they've integrated, because I don't know if, I'm definitely aging myself here. I don't know if any of y'all remember the Superman Blue comics where he essentially got a completely different power set, but a lot of them were electricity based.
I remember it existing. I never read any of it though.
Yeah, they kind of touched on the fact that like Kryptonians are a bit more malleable in how they display their powers. And I know Jonathan Kent, the current Man of Steel in the comics, has like a bioelectric sort of offshoot to his power. So it's like they're kind of integrating a little bit of that into the new series. So I really like that.
But it's got some fun voice actors. Jack Quaid is playing Clark Kent Superman. Chris Parnell is playing Slade Wilson, Agent Slade Wilson. For some government agency, he's working with Amanda Waller, although it hasn't been defined exactly what agency that is being called. But I know it's in some ways it's taking a slow start in the fact that they haven't introduced Lex Luthor. From what I read, they're not introducing him in the first season at all. But in other ways, it's kind of quickly starting up because in the fourth episode, Lois is putting it together that Clark Kent may or may not be Superman.
And I like that. I like that a lot because, like, what is it? Adventures of Lois and Superman. Like, a lot of the Superman media they take their time with it. But in all honesty, sometimes I'm like, all right, she like, what was it? It was Man of Steel. Lois, like an actual reporter, like went out and she found like Superman's Fortress of Solitude. So she like found Superman. She didn't know 100% he was Clark Kent, but she was like, she approached it from a different angle than she did in a lot of the media, where she's just like, who is he? And she, in Man of Steel, she approached it from, I want to know what kind of person he is and where he's from, versus I want to know his secret identity. So I appreciate the fact that she is hanging out with him, like, and she meets him enough times and knows Clark that she's able to be like, wait a minute. And I'm very interested to see how they go with it, especially with Jimmy. I love Jimmy and the fact that he's a conspiracy theorist and he's not completely far off.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It'll be interesting though, because he's going to very quickly become a third wheel. And that'll be a little sad. No, it's a fun show so far. I'm liking it. I don't always like Superman. I think he can be... He's not necessarily my favorite superhero, but I am enjoying this iteration of him.
Nice. I've heard good things. Haven't seen it, though. Don't watch a lot of the DC stuff, but definitely heard good things. So that is... Now airing, is it full stream or are they doing weekly releases? Do you know?
Weekly releases.
Okay. So you can catch up on Cartoon Network or Max, depending on which is available to you. Thank you, Eric. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for supporting and listening and doing all the great stuff that you do on a daily and weekly basis for us at Flame On. We wouldn't be here still making episodes for you all these years later if you all weren't out there listening and supporting and just being amazing. So we thank you for that. And you can check out our website at flameonshow.com. That's where you can find all the ways to get in touch with us. You can find our Threadless shop where you can cop your own Flame On swag. And if you get some, please make sure to tag us. We love to see the pictures. And you can also find our currently all dormant Twitch accounts. And, you know, some of us have Twitched. Some of us still haven't Twitched. Even though they, you know, set up a whole brand for themselves, which is phenomenal. Anyway, we're not gonna call Eric out by name, but you know, still. Hey. You can check all of that out at flameonshow.com. You can also check out our Patreon by linking through our website, or by going to patreon.com/flameonshow and checking out the four levels that we have and joining at the one that works best for you and helping to support us that way, if you can. We appreciate it. Either way, any way that you are able to support us. So check us out, flameonshow.com and patreon.com/flameonshow.
Business leisure.
To scream pop songs at the top of my lungs.
I didn't shave my chest for nothing.
To show my kid I love him, no matter what.
Because some people still don't get it.
Because so many people fought so hard to be able to do this.
To visit every single gay bar in Soho in one night.
Because when I was younger, I never realised I could.
Because we're not going anywhere.
Whatever the purpose of your visit, make yours an original. Celebrate Pride with British Airways, a British original.
On We Are Jet, I get to talk to leaders from the global food and tech company JustEatTakeaway.com about what makes great leadership and how a positive company culture starts with looking at ourselves.
First impressions are most likely to bring an unconscious bias because the only thing you can go on is what you see and what you hear right away. So really important, I think, for us to recognize that and be constantly checking ourselves and make sure we're not bringing in those biases into our discussions.
Listen to We Are Jet wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go into our next topic. Brian, what you got for us?
So yeah, I want to do a catch up on a show we talked about probably about a year ago, maybe more, That is something I was really excited about at first. And then, you know, I think when I talked about it, I probably gave you the warts and all review of the show that is on Apple TV or Apple Network, Apple streaming, Apple. What's it called? Apple something?
Apple TV Plus.
It is a plus. I knew that. Well, of course there's a plus in there. Oh my God.
On podcast plus.
Plus. Yes, Apple Plus. So Foundation, if you have not heard me talk previously or have not seen it, is a sci-fi series, very epic space opera sci-fi sort of series. Hard sci-fi. I don't know. There's a lot of different monikers you could throw on this, but on Apple, just came out with a second season. And it's based on the books by Isaac Asimov, who is actually the first sci-fi writer I ever read. In fact, the Foundation books were the first books, like not for school or whatever, and not as a young child. I was in high school, but that I read and kind of kickstarted my love for reading science fiction in general. So these books are kind of important to me, though going back and revisiting them, they're not great. We've been talking about Isaac Asimov in some of my friend groups, and it's like, he's a bad writer. Like, he's a prolific writer, and I shouldn't say he's a bad writer. Bad writer's useless. He is a writer who does not necessarily write believable characters and dialogue, but gets like sci-fi stuff, you know, interesting enough. And, you know, his concepts are, you know, kind of cool. And he's got some good redeeming stories. I think the first Asimov short story I read was the one about the computer that was going to end the world. And then they talked him out of it or something. I forgot the name, but I got to
War think Games.
No, but kind of, honestly, yeah, very much. Yeah. Anyway, so long story short, Isaac Asimov's not the material is not perfect, but it is something that's near to me and dear in my history. So watching the series, the first season, I was kind of amused because they took a lot of creative liberties, let's say, to try to keep the core ideas and elevate the material to something that's a little more palatable. I mean, you have to do a lot because it was written in the 50s or like 60s. I think it was 50s, but you have to already do a lot to kind of modernize it. But especially in the world of like Star Wars and other things that have come since that definitely pay like homage Foundation, specifically, like, you know, Star Wars has Coruscant. Well, Foundation has Trantor, which is kind of the same idea, a big city spanning planet. But like, they had to do a lot, and David Goyer, who has done a million sci-fi and genre projects, including like Blade and I'm sure other stuff. I think did he do iRobot? He might have done iRobot. He had to do a lot, and he and actually Jane Espenson from Buffy and Angel fame have really worked hard to sort of modernize and make it a little more gender friendly. There's certainly an issue with Asimov being a misogynist and not getting women at all and using them as plot to, like, people complain about like Stephen Moffat and Doctor Who and how he didn't handle women well. Let me just refer you to Isaac Asimov if you want really good examples of that. It's bad. They've done a lot of good stuff. I mean, their lead protagonists are women. The lead antagonist is deliciously but horribly played, like horrible, and he's a bad person, by the delightful and amazing Lee Pace, speaking of Pushing Daisies, who, oh my God, like, comparing Ned from Pushing Daisies to Emperor Cleon, that is his new character in Foundation, like, physically, he aged so well. Like, he is a specimen of a man. In fact, the first episode of season two, he is in a nude fight scene for like 3 minutes. And I mean, it is streaming, so you could probably show a little nudity, but you don't get anything but butt. But still, it's fine. It's still enough. You get a lot of Lee Pace, which is nice. The show is the second season's off to a start. It's a continuation right off of the cliffhanger ending of last season. And I mean, I won't spoil too much for you if you're interested, but there's a time jump. And it's space shenanigans, time travel, not time travel, but like time travel the slow way around, let's say, when you're frozen and, you know, you wake up 150, like Alien, you know, you wake up later and time's moved on. So it's got time jumps, and it's got some some crazy bonding moments between these two female characters that you end up with at the end of the first season. It also has a lot more Harry Seldon. Harry Seldon is played by, oh my God, what's his name? He was in the Chernobyl series, Jared Harris. He's a part of the books because he's kind of the founder of everything, so to speak. No pun intended, but he's not like alive in much of the books, but they kind of reference him and he's kind of got like this sort of like hologram sort of situation. But like either way, they're using him a lot more than I ever thought they would. And Jared Harris is an amazing actor, so no complaints there. He's great. But inventing material, let's say to say the least, like they're definitely taking liberties. And I think in a good way. I'm a little like on the fence right now about it, but and then they're also doing this thing where, so, you know, again, to add to the strong women in the series that the writer just did not provide, there's a wife potential for Emperor Cleon. So you get to meet this woman, forgot her name. She's like the Empress of the Moon or something. I don't know. She's got some suitable like sci-fi moniker, right? But she's going to marry Emperor Cleon and have like a dynasty, like an actual, like, you know, kids that are going to be born, and then they might become emperor. And the reason that's even like worth mentioning is the fact that in the books, I think somewhat, but in the series for sure, Emperor Cleon is a clone. So Lee Pace is born and then he doesn't have kids. He doesn't marry. He just dies and is like cloned. And what the series did to expand on that idea is they actually made a younger and an older version of the emperor to always be around for continuity. So that, like, okay, so it's like, I think it's Brother Dawn, Brother Day, and Brother Dusk. Brother Day is the emperor. Like, he is Lee Pace. Brother Dawn is the, like, teenage into young adult, like, emperor to be. And then Brother Dusk is the outgoing emperor. So he's basically puttering around being a retired, you know, person just painting and doing weird shit. So like you always had this like triumvirate of like council, but like, you know, there is, you know, the empire is the Lee Pace character. So
it's like the three in one. It's like the,
yeah, it's the Trinity. Yeah.
It's like the three in one Trinity of the, was it Hecate?
Yeah. Or like, you know, the Christian Trinity, whatever. Yeah. All of it, the three in one. Yeah. Yeah. Three is a big thing in religions. Of course, if you've ever studied any comparative religion or mythology, it's all that. But what's interesting is you now see that power dynamic shifting because the emperor is a perfect clone. So, okay, that's the litany, right? The emperor is the same person. It's the same person. It's the same soul, they kind of think, or whatever. But they actually last season introduced an idea that the cloning is imperfect. And there's actually been an intent to disrupt that and sort of add variables into the clones. So this is making the point that the books kind of touch on in a different way, that as you keep cloning, the copy of a copy starts to degrade. So this is sort of following up to that point where they're going to sort of introduce this idea. Cool stuff. Again, I think given the source material and the limitations, also the Foundation books are like novellas. So there's like three of them. And then they're like a collection of short stories. And then it becomes like a novelized series after that. But so they're doing some stuff that's not in the books, but is playing with ideas in later and earlier books. That was kind of cool to see. The other character I have to mention, because it's probably one of my favorite characters, Laura Byrne is the actress. She is playing a character named Demerzel. Demerzel is a robot that has been around since they haven't even really explained how long she's been around. But if you know the lore, she is a robot who is a, in the book, she's male. And so I don't know what they're doing in terms of gender, if it's just gender swap, or if they're playing with this idea that robots are kind of trans and can be whatever they want. I would love to see that, by the way. I hope that's what they're doing. But she is sort of pulling the strings across the whole Empire series and like the books and Foundation. And then there's a robot series where she kind of see her beginnings. But anyway, yeah. And in the books are Danielle Oliva, but, it's cool to see her in that role. It's cool to see her in the show. She has this Machiavellian sort of spirit, which they have to reconcile because robots, if you know Asimov, there's the three laws. They're not supposed to be able to hurt humans. They have all this, like, you know, they did this in iRobot a little bit, but it's that whole, they're not supposed to hurt humans thing. So they're going to explore why she can basically like kill people. She does too at one point. And I was like, okay, yeah, you probably should set the talk about this, you know, if you're trying to be like the true nerds that I know you are, how she can like kill somebody, how she justifies that in her laws, you know, when it says thou shalt not kill a human, you know. So anyway, all of that's fun and interesting. And I think if you like the Asimov ideas, or if you're just a sci-fi nerd in general, I think this show is fine. It's very pretty. It definitely has some great acting, music by Bear McCreary. I mean, the visuals are amazing, top notch. Like, it's not a lot of space battles. They did a little bit like at the end of the thing last season that was like, oh, okay. But there's a lot of cool lore there that I think is worth checking out. I will say, I don't know that this is going to get a third season. Well, writer strike notwithstanding, actor strike. This show has probably been on the bubble, and I don't think it did as well as they hoped it would. And I know it's a very expensive show. So even in Goyer, when he was doing the press junkets before the strike, he was basically saying and telegraphing, like, I don't know if we're getting another season. So hopefully I've got like an 8-season arc I want to do. And of course, you know, anytime a writer says they've got like an 8-season arc, you're like, oh no, you're not getting there, honey. You're not going to make it. But anyway, I love the show enough to bring it to all this is not a read, by the way. I do like the show. I think it's just entertaining that, you know, they take a swerve when I'm like, what are you doing? And so did anyone else watch the season one at all, or watching season two?
I heard an ad for it on when I was listening to Sibling Rivalry on my way to the office the other day.
All right.
That's about as close as I've gotten to.
Well, if you like Lee Pace and his body, and Lee Pace is an actor. I mean, he's like I say, he's playing an asshole, like, you know, evil empire thing. But I just love him and will always follow and stand him for perpetuity. So please to
the
enjoy.
The important question is, was he wearing nude illusion or nude delusion when you can't see things?
I mean, I can't say what he was actually packing down there because they do it in shadow. It's the Austin Power, but not like comedically, but it's in the shadow. You can't
wait. Yeah. Lee Pace was the lead actor in Pushing Daisies.
I just said that.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
Oh, you checked out.
I checked out.
He said, I don't know what's going on. So,
I mean, for some reason, I thought you meant the cop. I don't know why. I thought you meant the cop. And I was like, oh, the daddy cop. He's kind of cute. But then when you were like, Lee Pace, I was like, wait a minute. And then I went back and looked him up. I was like, it's not the cop. That's the main character.
I think the actor who played the daddy cop passed away, I feel like.
And Lee Pace looks very different from when he was in Pushing Daisies. Like, now he looks very different.
I'm glad we're on the same page now.
Yes.
I just said that. No,
I mean, he's been in a number of things since then that have also been discussed on the show, including Halt and Catch Fire and
The Hobbit trilogy.
The Hobbit, yeah. Ronan. He was Ronan, yeah.
We were literally just talking about Ronan earlier. It's a lot of Lee Pace conversation.
He's one of those actors that, like, every time somebody says his name, I envision his co-star every single time. He could be standing next to, like, he could be standing next to a dog or in a show with a dog, and I'll be standing there and I'll be like, oh yeah, that's the name of the dog. And everybody's like, no, the guy next to the dog. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I've looked him up like 50 times. I don't know what it is with my brain and Lee Pace. He just like disappears the moment I'm not looking at him. He's one of the silence.
I understand that. He's one of the silence. But I do think if you haven't looked him up least recently, go look up his Instagram. He's got a beard now, like he does, I think, tend to like having a beard, and it's even better. So yeah. Foundation on Apple Plus, Apple TV Plus. You know, enjoy it, watch it, tell your friends. Let's see if we can get a third season out of them.
All I could think was, yes, a lot of us in our early years enjoyed a beard when we didn't want to come out to our family. I mean, it's accurate. Yeah. It's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So, Foundation, Apple TV Plus. If you're into the sci-fi, check it out. And let Brian know what you think about season one and going into season two here. Oh, goodness. All right. I don't think mine is going to have as quite any conversation about it as much as Foundation did. I don't even know if there's any through lines to anything else we've ever really talked about. But I am going to talk about a mini series that I watched and I made my friend Chris watch with me, because when we were sitting down to dinner one day, I just happened to stumble upon it. I think it had just come out on Netflix, and I was like, oh, what is this? And started the first episode. Next thing you know, we're watching all five episodes of this mini series. And it is called Muscles and Mayhem, an unauthorized story of American gladiators, now streaming on Netflix. And sadly, like, the wiki page literally just says that it's a Netflix series about American gladiator. Not even American gladiators. Not even the right full name of this. But if you are unfamiliar with the gladiators... American Gladiators is an American competition television program that aired weekly in syndication from September 1989 to May of 1996. The series matched a cast of amateur athletes against each other, as well as against the show's own gladiators, quote-unquote gladiators, in contests of strength and agility. Following the success of American Gladiators, other countries began to produce their own versions of the show. So, this unauthorized docuseries really kind of takes a look and pulls back the veil on how the show came to be, all of the craziness behind putting it together, and the fact that it really didn't stand a chance at first, and the team that put it together had no clue what they were doing and wanted to put something together. And safety wasn't always a paramount concern, where if you've ever gone back and watched the original 13 episodes, I always thought it was like season one, and then it came back for season two and kind of got revamped. But no, apparently this was front half and back half of the first season was when it went from having a Coliseum-esque executioner as the referee and a very stripped down look to being kind of the more polished, a little closer to what people think of when they think of American Gladiators, if you watch American Gladiators. Now, before I go any further, who else on this panel actually watched American Gladiators back when it was on in late, you know, 89 to 90s?
All the time growing up.
Jesus, okay. I definitely watched it. I just can't remember, because at some point it went into syndication.
Like it went into syndication pretty much right away. Yeah. It was part of how it's
production. It stopped, and then and then it would randomly appear on like USA.
Yes.
Yep. At night instead of like early morning, like Saturday or Sunday mornings. Like on like regular network television. I just can't remember, like it jumped around a lot, and I remember watching it purely because I didn't realize it had moved to a different channel or anything. It was really weird.
I mean, those were that was either potentially after it went off the air in 96 or towards the end, because it was I know I always remember it being a Saturday afternoon show, and part of that, the reason I remember that, is because I had skating lessons from like 11 to 12. And then my mom would take me from the ice rink. We would stop and get McDonald's on the way home. It was a routine. I did my hockey skating lessons. We'd get McDonald's, and then we'd have to be home by 1 o'clock for American Gladiators, because, you know, there's nothing like a fat kid eating a Happy Meal, watching roided up men in spandex. When that's the American dream for most of us. But so it was such a huge part of me growing up, to the point where I went to see the live show when it came to New York, when it came to the Nassau Coliseum. I loved it so much that my mother sent me, a 10-year-old, on my own to this fancy dinner. She bought me the VIP ticket so I could go and have dinner, meet gladiators, and watch the show. And I went to this dinner by myself.
This feels like a Law & Order SVU episode. I'm not going to lie. This one, like, you telling me This is what happened. I activated my fight or flight. And my heart rate just jumped up. And I'm like, I can't save this 10-year-old Pat from what's about to happen. I don't know. I have full body chills just from you explaining that.
You know, it happens. It happens. I had a life-size poster of ice. A full, 5.5-foot-tall poster. Ice actually came and did a meet and greet and autograph signing at this. We had a lot of indoor flea market type places on Long Island. I can't remember the name of the one that she was at. I know it wasn't our normal Tri-County, which was our the big indoor flea market. But I remember going and I can't remember if my mom or my dad might have taken me to that one. There are not a ton of memories that I have of my dad and I doing things. So it's kind of fuzzy. But I just remember, again, being told to, they did not want to wait in the line with me. So there I was, a 10 or 11 year old me with my poster and whatnot, waiting in line to go meet this American Gladiator. Anywho, so if that in any way, shape or form gives you an insight into who I am as a person and why I am the way that I am, then congratulations. So this series, I'm going to read this. I found this website that talks about it. Again, there is not a lot of information on the actual putting together and production of this show. Normally we read a little excerpt of a wiki description. But the one I read to you was the one for American Gladiators, the actual show. This here, I believe, is actually the opening kind of narration for the show itself. And it says, in the late 80s and early 90s, muscly hunks and bodybuilding were all the rage. We had Arnold, we had Stallone, we had Thundercats, we did. We had WWF's primetime wrestling, and we had American Gladiators. If you're too young to know or too old to remember, the show featured a bunch of co-ed super jocks who took on average Joes in various physical challenges, like jousting each other with pugil sticks atop raised circular platforms or assaulting each other with weapons full of ammo. Well, orange tennis balls. It was campy, it was fun, and the gladiators lived like rock stars until it all went down in flames. So, this five-part docuseries, one should have been four episodes because it kept on going back over the same things as these episodes went on. But it actually features a handful of the gladiators themselves, including Nitro and Gemini, both Zaps, the original Zap and or the original Zap or the original Lace, or both of them, to be honest. It's Nitro, Storm, Diamond, Laser, Ice, Gemini, Zap, Blaze, Sky, Tower, and then, yes, the original Zap. And also talks about Lace and Sunny and Malibu and all of these other people that were part of the show. And really dives into how the show came to be, how they found these gladiators, most of them being either injured football players who could not continue on in the NFL, fitness models, and their rise to prominence as celebrities and the vices that surrounded it, including steroids, which was a huge part of the world of professional televised sports. You know, talks about the WWF steroid scandal, talked about their issues and how the production company did what it could to make sure that they did not test positive and giving them a heads up of, you know, roughly 2 weeks to let the performance enhancing accoutrement get out of their system. But it's crazy to see these people now and see how they've aged, because they were, you know, in their 20s, 30s, going, you know, when the show was at its peak. But then also seeing how they were taken advantage of, you know, we talk about the writer's strike and the SAG after strike and the unfair residuals and payments. These people were taken advantage of so badly. Their likeness, the contract that they signed essentially did not give them any type of payouts, any type of money. And they were being, they became marketing juggernauts. You know, I had the toys, there was posters and there were lunchboxes and Slurpee cups and all of these things.
Was there
and
a they cartoon? Saw them.
I don't remember a cartoon. There were video games because I had at least two of them, one for the original NES and I think one for the Super Nintendo. That original Nintendo game is the worst video game. Maybe not in the world, but it was really, really bad. The second one was much better. But and then the fact that when the gladiators had enough of being kind of taken advantage of, they wanted to all band together and really kind of demand to renegotiate. And some of them did, a lot of the originals, and some of the ones who were either newer or didn't want to take the chance that their money would stop flowing didn't. And it also showed you how if you don't stand together, the people who do stand up in that will be, you know, brushed aside and taken out of the equation. And they fired four of the original, like, mainstay gladiators. And the last couple of seasons just kind of fell apart until it just reached the end at season 7. So it's a very interesting look at the world of American Gladiators, how it came to be, how these people all kind of came to become these icons of a certain generation. I am now following Ice on like TikTok. I did not know that she is a lesbian. And it is so amazing to see like how they are now and how she is. And the fact that she wanted to be kind of out and proud and be herself during this time. And the production company essentially told her, please do not bring your girlfriend on the tour. Do not bring her around, like kind of keep it all hidden. And the funniest part about that was they were on Ellen, the 90s sitcom, and Nitro and Ellen like apparently started a thing and Ice is the jealous girlfriend. Like, I guess she dated Nitro. And I vaguely remember actually seeing this when it was on. And she talks about the fact that when they were doing that, it was funny because she didn't want to be making out with Nitro. She would rather be making out with Ellen. And it was like, could you just imagine the trajectory of queers in television had that been the storyline that the Ellen show had gone with back in the 90s? But it's a super interesting watch. The episodes run about between like 35 and 45 minutes each, and it's only 5 episodes. So if this was a part of your growing up, kind of your, like, if you have some of those same core memories, I was a little sad. They talk about the tour, and they show like the press conference they had at Madison Square Garden. They talk about doing the back-to-back shows, one at Madison Square Garden and then the one at Nassau Coliseum, but there's no footage from it. Cause I was like, maybe that'll be from when I was there. Like they'll show Nassau Coliseum, and they didn't. But then I also realized that it was like October 17th of like 91. So it was like the day before my 10th birthday. It was like, oh no, it was like October 21st. So it was like right after my 10th birthday. And I was like, damn, I was a 10-year-old just going to this thing by myself.
Buddy, I just, every time you give your age and the time frame, and I'm just like, I can't. I'm like, if there isn't already a Law and Order SVU episode that isn't set up just like this, I'm going to call shenanigans. So you need to write it, and you need to like wait for the writer's strike to start. Don't be a scab, and send that in, because like the whole time my heart rate, I just can't. I'm just imagining little 10-year-old Pat just like having a good day, and then like all of a sudden the camera clips up, and then it's just like this is Law and Order's Special Victims Unit, and I'm just like, I can't. I just I'm yeah, like, yeah. Oh,
And if I'm telling you, if this gives you any insight into why I am the way I am, you're welcome. I know I do need to find my pitch. I'm going to be doing some cleaning and downsizing here in my apartment over the next couple of weeks. And I know, and I'm pretty sure that I have in my possession pictures of me with Tower, Sky, and Elektra from that dinner, from that VIP dinner from the American Gladiators tour. Which also, I didn't remember the fact that Tower, Sky, and Elektra all got their start on that tour and then moved over to the television show.
You need to post those pictures if you find them.
I'll find them. I know I have them. And then there's little me in my dress shirt and slacks because my mother wouldn't let me go to this thing. It's the American Gladiators live show at Nassau Coliseum. But because it was a VIP dinner, she would not let me go in just like a t-shirt and jeans. I had to dress up for this VIP dinner. So it is tiny little 10-year-old me in a little dress shirt and khaki slacks. Next to these monstrous people. But hey, I lived. I did not get abducted. I am still here to tell these stories 30 some odd years later. But yeah, I'll find those pictures. I'll send them to you all first, and then we'll see about posting them. We'll see how I feel about it. But it definitely was a great watch. It was so eye-opening, especially being that young when it came out, to then kind of see how all of this, like, all of these things came to be. And also seeing Ice looks fucking stunning still. Absolutely gorgeous. Laser could still do the naughtiest of things to me. And yeah, some of them did not age as gracefully. So we'll just leave it at that. But if you have Netflix, if you grew up with American Gladiators, I recommend checking out Muscles in Mayhem. I still haven't. I still need to watch the Wham documentary, and I've heard that that's really good. But right now, like that was, I was very impressed with how they put that together. And do you remember when I was talking about like the video game? I cannot remember the name of it. The docuseries about Sega. Or the docufilm about Sega.
Yeah.
And how like half of it was where they would like intercut live footage with like animated like reenactments. Mm-hmm. They do the same thing in this docuseries. So whenever they're telling stories, and they have some wild ass stories. There's one about like Nitro and Laser driving in like the desert on their way to some location. They were both roided out of their minds, like a bout of roid rage hit, and like they got into a fight where Laser ended up biting like Nitro on the cheek to like get him to stop hitting him. This whole thing, but these stories are reenacted through cartoon, and all the cartoons, they're always wearing their gladiator outfit. So no matter what the story is, there's always like there's these adorable and funny cartoons, and they just draw them in their gladiator outfits. Also, the one guy that came in, the executive produced the show, apparently had a porn and dildo obsession, and apparently had like dildos suction cupped all over the production room, and they had pictures, actual pictures of the production room from that time, and blurred them out. But then when they did the recreations in cartoon, there's dildos. And I'm like,
seriously,
how are you going to blur out the real thing but draw in dildo?
This entire segment has sounded like a true crime.
I can't. Yeah, I know. The executive producer is the one that's stealing the 10-year-olds from the live show.
There we go. No, that's exactly how it would happen.
I mean, I can't, you know, deal with it. Oh Lord, I'm telling you, like, and if you remember when Diamond came back with big titties, she left the show fairly, you know, fitness model with a smaller chest, and then came back with giant tits. There was a whole thing about like him, like he didn't want to mix business with pleasure, and then he gets into a whole thing about her, like her tits. I don't know, it's this whole thing. It is a bizarre and funny discovery of this show. So Muscles and Mayhem on Netflix. I suggest you all go and watch it. So that is from me. All right, y'all. Before we get to the end of the show, we just want to say one more time, thank you so much for listening to and supporting our podcast. Make sure you go check out our website at playemonshow.com. All of our links to everything we do are there. And you can also help support us monetarily if you're able to by going to patreon.com/blameonshow. All right, y'all, let's do a round of one-ups. Let's go back around the other way. Brian, what is your one-up?
I just want to do a quick one-up shout-out to a business that is making a delightfully pro-Florida anti-DeSantis sticker and other similar products. And I should have done this before Pride, but I will post a link on the Facebook page. They are called Wayward Pansy, and I am holding the sticker up to the cast here. It is a orange. I cannot focus for hell. I'm not changing the focus. So it's an orange with the progress flag, and it says Florida is for everyone. Oh, and a flamingo. And this has kind of gone viral a little bit, so I'm very excited, and I'm really glad to see, like, friend of the show Kat Blackard using it as her Facebook picture, and, you know, all kinds of just attention. There are a lot of Floridians and people who live in Florida, like our dear friend Eric still, who are, you know, obviously not reflective of that state's bullshit. And this is a great, like, sticker, T-shirt, whatever, to show your support for that movement within the nonsense that is currently happening. So Wayward Pansy, I'll put a link up. And yeah, that's my one up.
Nice. Eric, what you got for us?
So I came across a band that is new to me called Electric Callboy. Formerly known as Eskimo Callboy, if you had heard of them before, but they are a techno metal band from Germany who recently put out a cover of Cascada's Every Time We Touch, which is delightful. And some of their older songs, We Got the Moves and Pump It, are fantastic. It's scream metal that makes you happy. It's just, there's such joy, and they are fun people, and both the singers are pretty cute, and yeah, check them out, Electric Callboy.
Nice. I've never heard of them before. All right, BJ, what you got?
So I recently finally beat Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I got through that god-awful stealth mission that I was stuck on for the better part of 4 or 5 years. It went by very quickly when I realized I could just kill all of them. And that's what I did. But in looking up my next video games to play, I realized there is a slew of games that are coming out the next year and a half that I'm very, very, very excited for. Number one being Spider-Man 2. They dropped a story trailer for the new Spider-Man 2 game, and they have released a gameplay trailer for Lies of P, which is the Souls game reimagining of Pinocchio in a steampunk aesthetic. I've probably posted clips, but I will be posting more because the game looks absolutely fun as hell. Also, it has a mechanic where you can repair your goddamn weapon. So so you can sharpen and repair your weapons on the go, which makes me very happy because weapons.
Imagine if games didn't let you repair your weapons.
Oh, I just got to – I was going to say.
Calm down there, Final Fantasy.
I can't wait to get into Tears of the Kingdom now, where I'm going to have to deal with weapon durability and weapon proficiency.
Imagine games who have different races in them.
I will say, Eric, I did start playing Final Fantasy 16, and let me tell you, something about stories where they just white people enslaving other white people, kind of, you know, chef's kiss. They give some people the ick. They give me a good feeling. I'm not going to lie.
So, you know, the slaves probably learned beneficial things to help their lives later in life.
Oh, God. I have gotten the ick so many times this episode. I can't. between Pat's between alternate reality Pat's abduction when he was 10 years old. I just can't. But speaking of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the next chapter in the Final Fantasy VII Remake series, should be dropping either late 2023 or early 2024, like January, February of 2024. So I have 6 saving plans in my savings app. When they sponsor us, I will plug them. So there's a lot of good games coming out. I'm very, very, very excited. And I haven't even started looking at PC games. So I'm not saving enough money right now. Video games abound. Everybody take a look at what's coming out. A lot of really fun indie games. Absolutely get on it.
Fantastic. So mine is also video game related. I had alluded to, mentioned, kind of said, did not spoil that I finished Tears of the Kingdom, the storyline. I've currently gone through and gotten a ton of new armor. I've gone through and completed all of my shrine quests, all of the side quests. I am currently in the midst of trying to figure out like the other 60 some odd side adventures that are still in the game. I still have not even found 100 out of 1,000 Koroks. So sorry, little green buddies, probably not going to do that. But this game has brought some fun back into my life now that I don't get killed first shot on every battle that I fight. And one of the things that I absolutely do love, and this is not a spoiler because, you know, you get these things quite often throughout the game. When you take some pictures, you can bring them to the Hateno dye shop, and the lovely person at the dye shop, I forget their name, can make new paraglider fabrics for you. So when you take certain enemy pictures, they are inspiration for new gliders. And I think when I talked about this last month, I was flying around using my Gliok inspired one, which was really cool looking. I took a picture of a bear, and it is one of the paraglider fabrics that you can get made. And it is the most adorable fucking paraglider fabric ever. And I love it. And my Gliok one was so badass that I kind of miss it. But this bear one is so cute that I'm like, you know what? I think we'll keep this for a while. I will also say that as of 2 a.m. on this good goddamn day, I finally lit up all 120 light roots in the depths. And it does tell you that you have lit up all of them. The funny part about it was I had 119 and 151 shrines done. And I was like, okay, that means that the shrine and the light route that I'm missing have to be the same one, right? No, it does not mean that. It does not mean that at all. So I don't know what shrine I'm missing, because I've done all the shrine quests. So I was like, well, maybe it's a shrine quest and it'll be easy to find, because I was missing 2 shrines and I had 2 shrine quests that I was missing. What apparently happened was I did one of the shrines without the shrine quest, and I did one of the shrines. I activated the shrine pedestal, but not gotten the actual shrine quest. So I hadn't done that shrine, but activated it. So the thing was on the map. But I went through, and at 2 something in the morning, I was literally zooming in on the depths map and going typewriter style back and forth, trying to find what amassed to essentially a quarter size, maybe a nickel size spot on the map for this one light route. Some of the light routes illuminate a good chunk of the map. some of them are really just a tiny little section. And this, there was a bunch in one area, and this one just happened to be a tiny little spot. But I found it. But yeah, it's become a little bit of a fun adventure now to complete things. And then I'm going to go back and again, you know, I think I need to go take a picture of Big Buff. Or no, I think the first version of Ganon. One of them. I need to go back and start taking pictures for the compendium and doing some of the more the boss battles in the depths and getting more loot and armor and pieces, and then going and talking to Cece and getting her to pull my hood down for the Hylian armor, because I want Link's hair to blow in the wind as I'm running around in my best armor, which I did not know that's how you get that, like for the amiibo. Anyway, it's brought back a little bit of fun there. I curse at the game less, but it's still a lot of fun. So Tears of the Kingdom, 2 months in, still giving me life, and I wanted to share that with you all. And BJ, I know you haven't touched the game at all. You just finished Breath of the Wild. Eric, I know you don't have a Switch. Brian, have you gotten through the story yet?
No. No, I actually spent time with my nephew in Charlotte when we were going through. I did the Light Dragon thing, which he was very excited to share with me and almost spoiled. And then I spoiled myself by accident. No, I'm taking my time. I'm picking at the depths. That's like, I kind of play Zelda like casual gaming style, where I'll just go in and like I'll do a few shrines, I'll do a few like light routes, and then I might get distracted. It's bad for my OCD. Not OCD. What's the other one?
ADHD.
It's bad for my ADHD tendencies, because I'll go do, I think I did this on the last show, but you go do one thing and then you see something else and you do that and then you go something anyway. So like I'm picking at it, but I did almost, I'm about to start the water temple, I think the one with the Zoro. Yeah. And I got the Master Sword. So, and I did fight my first ghost. What is it? Phantom Ganon or whatever, the thing with the boom hands. So like that was a bitch. I'm not gonna lie, I died a couple times and they like kind of got the rhythm, but yeah, I'm not quite where you are. Maybe someday soon, especially if they keep sending me on travel.
I just want to make sure that I don't spoil my Ganon furry cosplay dreams.
Oh yeah, no, don't spoil that yet. I mean, that at least for me, no. I'm excited to see what you're doing, but not yet.
I mean, it won't happen, but it's just fun to imagine a world where that's the world where 10-year-old me got abducted at the American Gladiators live. That's furry Pat.
Jeez.
But I always ran away from the Gloom Hands, so I didn't know that if you fight the Gloom Hands and you defeat the Gloom Hands, a Phantom Ganon pops up. The first time that should happen in the overworld, scared the shit out of me, and I ran so fast and warped away. And I was like, why is the Gloom here on land? It should only be in the depths. I don't get this. Like, why is it here?
I'm just glad that I fucking found TikTok videos about fucking Gloom Hands, because I was going to be furious if we had talked about this game so many times. And I'm just wandering around, and all of a sudden this giant pile of writhing hands starts chasing me through the world. I was going to be so mad.
So mad or so turned on? I think it's like a little bit of both.
I mean, mad initially because I died in the game, and then once I had time to think about it, probably turned on.
Oh, bitch. These things are the difficulty of enemies from Breath of the Wild to Tears of the Kingdom is leveled up. So be prepared to die a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's just how it is.
I've been trying I've been trying to clear out Lurelin. Is it Lurelin? Lurelin?
Yeah. My God.
I thank God for the muddle flowers that you can just keep throwing at them and they'll start hurting each other. Because, like, I am totally taking the not confrontational path for this one. And then I die. And you have to, of course, start at the very beginning before you do anything. And I keep getting, like, so close. And then I get on the pirate ship and I die. I'm like, damn it. So yeah, there's so many things where I'm right there before, you know, you level up to godhood in the game, Pat. I'm in the dying all the time for everything, and it's
oh, That's most of my day. I'm now at, although the thing I realize is you can't have full stamina and full hearts.
Oh no.
Because there are not enough light blessings. You either have two hearts less than full, or you have to take away two pieces of your stamina. Because I have full stamina wheels, three wheels.
Yeah.
And if I find this last shrine, I'll get two more hearts and I will have the entire top row and then the entire bottom minus two. So I'm going to have to go to the devil statue. If I want full hearts, I'm going to have to go to not the bargaining statue, because those are actual things in this game, but that, like, demon statue, and trade out stamina for hearts. And so I can have all, 32, 34 hearts. Yeah. Yeah. Frustrating, but oh well. But yeah, but it's fun. And yes, that Lurlin Village one was a bitch to do. I kept on doing segments and just like going around and like doing little pieces of it until I eventually got it. And then the gayest of gay carpenters is a part of the quest after that, and it's phenomenal. I forgot that he was in Breath of the Wild until I was watching videos about it. And I was like, oh, they brought the faggot back. Yeah. Yes, I love him. Listen, with his pink bandana and his flamboyant nature, I love it. Oh, one last thing, and then we'll sign off. There is a side quest about finding hot springs. And the guy, like, sits in his little, like, in his boxer shorts and, like I think his flame helmet. And if you take all of your clothes off and you walk by him, he makes a comment about, it's clothing optional, huh? I was like, "Ooh, they slipping in the gay lines."
Nice.
I took a screen capture on my Switch. I'll have to see how I can share that. But it made me laugh when I was like, "Oh," I was like, "He said, oh, it's clothing optional." Yes, the faggotry of Tears of the Kingdom and why we live. But with that being said, dear listeners, thank you again. Thank you, boys, for being on this roundup. Thank you to the Wigs for doing the heavy lifting. And we will see you all in 2 weeks with another microsode. And maybe a little Secret Invasion conversation. We'll see if that's if we get around to that soon. If not, that'll be coming up in the not-too-distant future. So until then, dear listeners, bye, bitch.
Bye.
Business, leisure.
To scream pop songs at the top of my lungs.
I didn't shave my chest for nothing.
To show my kid I love him, no matter what.
Because some people still don't get it.
Because so many people fought so hard to be able to do this.
To visit every single gay bar in Soho in one night.
Because when I was younger, I never realised I could.
Because we're not going anywhere.
Whatever the purpose of your visit, make yours an original. Celebrate Pride with British Airways, a British original.